Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. This week, the price of a barrel of oil dipped below $30. That is a 60% drop from the recent highs in the summer of 2014. These are prices that we haven't seen in 12 years. But if you haven't been watching the oil markets that closely, you can't miss what's happening at the gas pump. The average price for a gallon of gasoline is now $2. So how long will these prices stay this low? And I shudder to even say it, but could this be too much of a good thing? Well, with me are Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Greg Zuckerman with The Wall Street Journal. And Greg, let me start with you. First of all, why are prices dropping?
So there was always a narrative in our country that we were running out of oil and gas. And then all of a sudden, we found a lot of it through hydraulic fracturing, which we call fracking, and horizontal drilling. And it was a technological revolution. And all of a sudden, our production soared. And that was well and good when demand was strong around the world. But that's all changed. And the Saudis and others weren't thrilled with our extra production, and they fought back. About a year or so ago, they said, we're not going to lose market share like we have been, and we're going to keep pumping and going to continue to pump at a little higher rate, and that's flooded the market. So we've had extra supply, while demand from both the United States and China and other kind of economies that are slumping has dropped.
You know, I would just add, there's also a lot of hot money that was in the commodities markets in oil when the Federal Reserve was pouring a lot of money into the markets in its quantitative easing program over the last few years. That's now stopped. Interest rates are going up. Both of those things pushed a lot of investment money out of commodities, and that's another reason prices are falling.
But if the prices are falling and people are not making as much money as before, especially a lot of oil companies, we saw BP made an announcement that they're laying off a lot of people. Why do we still keep seeing more oil being produced by countries like Saudi Arabia and others if they're losing money?
Well, at the margin, some are, some aren't. But the key is that the Saudis want to take back market share. So they've got a lot of enemies. They've got the U.S. production, ISIS, you've got Russia. I mean, people forget that the reason why the USSR collapsed was really not so much Reagan, but it was because the Saudis pushed prices down and production up, and they're doing it again. And the Iranians, obviously, are coming online. So the Saudis have said, we're sick of losing market share. We're going to keep pumping. And for the next couple of years, they can handle the pain. They can't after that, but I would argue for the next 2 years, they should be able to.
In addition to this sort of geopolitical great game around energy, the Saudis now have a real budgetary problem. They only need about $20 a barrel to actually make their budgets work, but at the current rates, you're getting pretty close to that.
But it basically sounds like cutthroat competition where we're going to pump so much and push the price down so low that we basically cause everybody else to have a problem. They're not producing as much. You start seeing fewer drilling operations happening, for example, in the Gulf of Mexico. And then once there's less supply coming in, the prices start to go up, and they're the ones that can benefit from it.
Right. And, you know, this is always the way with commodities. I remember doing a story way back in 2008 when oil was at $148 a barrel, and there was huge inflation, and you couldn't find any rigs and you couldn't find any engineers. Well, why was that? Because there had been a cycle 5 or 10 years earlier where the prices dipped. So oil is a very volatile commodity.
So how destabilizing is this? If you talk about the USSR and the problems it had because of oil prices, what does this mean geopolitically?
Oh, it's fascinating. And the repercussions, I don't think, are clear yet. I mean, you look at Saudi Arabia, they've got about 25% unemployment right now. Their debt is rising. Their foreign reserves are dropping. They've got a potentially restive population of Shiites in oil-producing areas. So I think they are trying to put out U.S. competition and other competition around the world for the next couple of years.
Right. There's also the issue of, let's say that the U.S. Continues its shale production. Shale production has definitely dropped off some because of the prices. But let's say America continues to move towards energy independence and being less dependent on Middle Eastern oil. But China, as it grows, even if it grows more slowly, becomes more so. Then you've got a new superpower in the Middle East that has an entirely different agenda than the U.S. does. And that changes a lot, too.
And normally when we see any sort of conflict in the Middle East, prices go up. And we kind of have this fight that's going on now between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and yet prices are not going up.
Yeah, that's the kind of bizarre upside of a China slowdown. The fact that China is the world's biggest energy consumer, it doesn't need as much oil these days, is enough to offset what ordinarily would be a really serious event. I mean, typically, big conflicts in the Middle East can spike oil between 10 and 30%, and we just haven't seen that at all.
So let's bring it back here to the U.S. I mean, gas prices are $2 a gallon on average. If you live in the Northeast and you heat your home with heating oil, you're going to see your prices drop by about 40% for this winter. Like, you're paying a lot less money. Is this a good thing for U.S. consumers?
So it is a good thing for U.S. consumers, but it's being offset. Those of us who live on the coasts aren't always as focused on what's happening in the heartland. The heartland can be very oil-dependent, the oil industry. So about a third of our growth over the past few years has come from the oil and gas industry. Jobs have been created.
We're talking Texas, North Dakota.
Sure. And instinctively, we all kind of say, well, oil prices coming down is a good thing, but that's not being reflected in what's happening out there.
And if you look actually at corporate investment, you know, corporations taking some of that cash on their balance sheet and putting it into the U.S. economy, most of it has actually been done in the energy and related sectors. So if that starts to fall off, that could have a big effect on GDP growth.
And also on perhaps on job growth if we're seeing.
For sure.
So give me your prediction then. Where do gas prices go in the next couple of months? Do they stay at this level or do they go up?
I would argue that over the next couple of years, we stay, let's say, $30 or so to $50 a barrel. And that means really low gas prices at the pump.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would maybe go 30 to 60 even. I don't think we're going to see $100 oil in the next decade for sure. I think it'll depend a little bit on the confluence of geopolitical events that happen. If you have more pressure in the Middle East, more conflict at the same time, there's some big event with Russia, then you could see a little bit of inflation.
So some relief for American consumers, but with some concerns and things you have to pay attention to.
For sure.
Very much so.
Well, what are some of the other stories that you're paying attention to, Rana?
Well, I'm thinking about junk bonds. We haven't heard a lot about those since the 1980s, but there's actually been some implosions in the corporate bond market recently, in part because of the sort of energy companies that we've been talking about. A lot of them are really suffering from that dip in oil. The question now is whether that's going to spread more broadly across the corporate bond market, and could that affect people's 401ks?
And if it spreads across the market like that, it means it's harder for corporations to raise money and to do the sorts of things they need to do.
That's right, and it also affects the asset managers, the fund managers that are actually holding those corporations in their portfolios. Are they going to go under? We already saw just a few weeks ago a major mutual fund go under because it had a lot of bad corporate debt on its books.
Greg?
Charlie, I'm going to take you far afield. The biggest revolution I see going on right now is in cancer, the way we're finally turning on our immune system to tackle cancer. It's called immunotherapy, and there are all kinds of really fascinating startups, biotechs, making a lot of progress. Later this year, you're going to see some results. Fingers crossed, they're really positive for us all.
Well, Greg Zuckerman with The Wall Street Journal and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.